Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for joining us for this episode, Building Creative Futures, the Role of Arts in Education Today. As educational focus shifts over the years, the importance of art as a part of school curriculum has often been a topic of discussion. With the recent changes in education, it seems timely to address where we are currently in terms of art education. And today's guest has the background and expertise to lead us in this conversation. Brian Hirsch has a background in both art and education. In New York, he ran a school series at the Lincoln Center and volunteered with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Here in Sarasota, he served as education and outreach director at Oslo Repertory Theater for 5 years before joining Sarasota County Schools as its program director for Any Given Child. Brian was in that role for a decade before becoming the CEO for the Arts and Cultural Alliance of Sarasota County. To help us explore where arts education stands today and where it's headed, here's Jennifer Vine with today's guest.
Well, Brian Hirsch, thank you so much for joining me today. This is always so insightful to have conversations with you. And I want to know the backstory. Thomas, in the introduction, was sharing about your career path, but you were also just sharing some things that go beyond your current role. So I want you to expand so our listeners know, what's the tie back between the Arts and Cultural Alliance and your early upbringing?
Thanks, Jennifer. It's an honor to be here with you. So arts has always played a central role in my life. My parents always supported me participating in arts. I remember my band director, Mr. Schneider. We're still in touch via social media. You got to love those things. He was my band director from fifth grade all the way through high school. But I was involved in everything in high school. I was in band, jazz band, orchestra. I sang in the choir. Our choir sang in Carnegie Hall. That was the trip when I sang in Carnegie Hall my senior year where I knew I wanted to move to New York.
Oh my goodness.
So in that moment, I knew I wanted to be in New York City after music school, lived in New York City for 8 years, worked at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. So I've had a little bit of arts things happening in my life before moving to Sarasota.
And then you came to Sarasota and then your career. Tell us a little bit about how it took you into the Arts and Cultural Alliance where you are today as the CEO.
Yeah. So this is a great story. My first gig, even here, before I landed officially, I was actually even a consultant for the Arts Council at the time, and I evaluated their teaching artist program. I ended up then going to Oslo Repertory Theater as their education director for 5 years, and we got to work together when I was at the school district for about 10 years running the Any Given Child Initiative, Yes. Which is a partnership with the Kennedy Center. And with that, I've always been plugged into this arts community in Sarasota, which is a remarkable arts community. And so when Jim Shirley retired, it's something I thought, this is it. I'd love to be a part of this organization and work collectively with all of our different arts organizations.
It sounds like it was like a hand in glove kind of opportunity for you. I want to really focus on today's conversation about the value of arts education and knowing that you were at an early years, you know, really inspired by your exposure. But for those students who may not have just that extrinsic interest right out of the gate, what is the fundamental value of arts education being a part and embedded in public education today?
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. I love this because I would always say in whatever role I had, my job wasn't to make more actors and musicians or whatever. That's great. And there will always be that. But arts plays such a crucial part of a well-rounded education. And really, as we look in the 21st century, you know, we hear a lot about careers and career paths, and we understand that. I think parents are really worried about, what's my kid going to do? What are they going to study? What are they going to major in? There is not a field that you're going to get into or a job that you're not going to get into where you don't benefit from some arts education. And that might be just the creativity, the critical thinking, the communication, the collaboration. Those are the four C's in the 21st century skills, right? Arts always plays a role into that. And it's just great discipline, the practice. Even in my interview in this role, I really talked about my journey as a drummer and how, like, as a drummer and musician, I still apply all the skills I learned in music school to my leadership style. So just no matter what you do, I think that arts is going to play a really important role in a well-rounded education And I hope parents are supportive of their kids and should be asking of the schools and of the teachers for opportunities for arts education, even if they know it's not something that they're going to do in college or beyond. It can play a really critical role to staying ahead of the game.
Well, even when you speak about the four C's, I think that is very essential to being ready for life, being prepared for things way beyond high school, teeing them up and preparing them for what the future may hold for them. So I want to hone in maybe a little bit more concretely on some of those four C's.
Sure.
Whether it's critical thinking, you said communication. When you say communication, I immediately think of theater. Mm-hmm. Can you just give our listeners some concrete examples of how those four C's are developed through arts education?
Yeah. I mean, communication. So like this is the ability for you and I to talk together. And how do we shape our thoughts? How do we shape our language? How do we get those abstract ideas out of our head and make it clear to someone else? Sometimes I love interpreting an abstract item, right? No problem. But we can communicate in so many different ways. And sometimes it is a little abstract, but it can be very concrete when we talk about learning how to read a script, right? So if you read a play, which we do in our English classes, great works of literature. I took a class in college that was advanced oral interpretations. Someone asked me, why am I a decent speaker? They didn't use those words, but how do you speak well? And I'm like, I took some theater classes.
Yes.
And in those theater classes, I literally learned pacing and timing and emphasis. Even as a musician, those same things happen, right? I give space to musical phrases. So the way that we even use our music, we can apply that to our communication ability. So everything you learn about that vocal phrase that you sang in your high school choir, guess what? Our pacing and rhythms and ability to deliver a clear message still can come from those arts classes.
Great examples. So as you've been involved in the arts and cultural world for so many years, how has arts education evolved through those years?
Yeah, this is a great question. There's been quite a journey. I think there's been a lot of different things, and it's like, what is it? What do we need now? So it could be everything what we call DBA, that's discipline-based arts. So, you know.
That's so interesting. Discipline-based arts. I immediately went to doing business as.
Okay. You've got a more business background. Great.
That's and, you know, good. That's like a that. Really good point.
So, there was just sort of a time of like, just do arts for art's sake. And that's great. And we can do that. But we know with the compacted schedules and the different loads that teachers might feel, I think everything has to be very, very intentional. A teacher needs to know why. So it can't just be like, hey, let's go to music class because everyone wants to know why. So it's important to have some of those basics in discipline-based arts that you have a music class in your elementary school. That's great. Then we've moved into some things like arts integration. I spent a lot of time doing that, right? So that's really through arts, you might be able to learn about science. Or we just did something recently about math and music. Those are sort of integrated disciplines that you can sort of level the playing field and make great. I think what one of the hardest spaces, Jennifer, is when we get into secondary schools and there's a lot more choice. How do we really find that those discipline-based arts programs, that being in the choir is still good for you? How is it going to get you into college? How is it going to prepare you for those things? And there's been a lot of things on technology and STEAM and STEM. I have a lot of different opinions about those. But overall, we know that arts can play that part in that well-roundedness. So we want our students to learn a lot and learn how to learn. I think that's the most important aspect. And I think arts really paves that way and opens that door. So what we need now are a few things. Arts builds culture, right? So, I mean, if you hear any of our teachers or principals or leaders talk about it, if you want to see culture, go to a band room, go to that choir room, go to the orchestra, or see how that art teacher organizes all these different folks in the room on the lessons. They are masters of their discipline and disciplinary ability to really bring people together. So arts builds culture in a classroom and a school and so many things. And I think that's needed a lot right now.
And it seems like it also builds the dimension, like another dimension in the depth and breadth of your personal agency.
I love this. So, you know, I think of this all the time. Listen, I go to a lot of arts performances and programs, and my favorite thing is to talk about the meaning of work. I love this. That's great for me. But don't we all want our students and people to be able to think in depth and intellectually about whatever it is that's presented from them? And there's a lot of different things we can do, whether it's visual thinking strategies. If we go to a museum and we learn to just inquire, ask why, what do we see there? What do we see that makes us say that? Back it up. And those are good things, whether you're writing a college essay or again, just a paper, or maybe you're doing something on a standardized test, that you can draw into those skill sets and keep asking questions. We want curious people. Mm-hmm. And I think arts really paves that. It's intrinsic. It's natural of us to see something and ask about it. And I think that's one of the really important aspects.
Great answer. So you and I can sit here and agree on the value of arts education. Mm-hmm. How does that show up from a funding level and a commitment level from the state? How does the state legislature view arts education? And then secondly to that, I do want you to touch on like our referendum, which has an allocation specifically to Sarasota and how Sarasota values arts education.
Yeah, I think the state's come a long way. And I mean, there's seal of arts approvals. You can get sort of these aspects of if you took enough different classes and majors, you get recognized for that merit that you've accomplished. So I think the state is very cognizant of those aspects. Listen, I think it's an interesting time to be in a local aspect and have things, governance from Tallahassee, governance that's federal, right? What's the individual way that we can do this? Even from district to, you know, schools, right? What's the autonomy and agency? What's the choice that we have as parents? I think those are the questions we want to ask because we celebrate choice as well. We really want the best for our kids. We're going to be, as parents, the strongest advocates for kids. I think this community and our legislative delegation is unbelievably supportive of arts and arts education. You know, I'm lucky enough, and I know, you know, we go and meet, and we go up to Tallahassee and we talk to people, very, very supportive, right? Because at the end of the day, I think most people do agree they are in favor of arts and arts education. They know that it's good for people and it helps people, as we say, you know, for a lot of students, that might be the reason they went to school that day, right? That, you know, I was looking forward to singing in my choir, or I was looking forward to the guitar class. Those are some of the highlights. And sometimes that's great too, let alone the skills that they might learn in that.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Now, let's tie into your experience. You've been 3 years now as the CEO of the Arts and Cultural Alliance of Sarasota County. How is the Arts and Cultural Alliance kind of leveraging and aligning with arts education specifically?
Yeah, thank you for this. You know, we go a long way. So the Arts and Cultural Alliance has had a long-standing commitment to arts education. There's been the Arts Education Task Force, and there's luminaries out there like Nancy Rucker and so many people. Jennifer, I think this is one of these important stories that not everyone, maybe today, if you've just moved to Sarasota, knows about, but really a long time ago in the mid 90s, there were some tough times and there were cuts in the school district and arts was cut. And so this community does not forget that. Our arts organizations will not forget that. And it's why district leadership knows this and they know about that. And they know that the arts community is there to make sure that things like that never happen again. And I think since that time, things came back stronger. All these national partnerships came. And also, to be fair, our arts communities have grown in number and excellence. And I think that really is one of the things we know, and I'm biased, but this is trademarked as Florida's cultural coast. Sarasota has such a strong cultural identity. The legacy from John Ringling is really quite large. And we have from performances to artists and being an artist colony, this is part of the community's identity, Sarasota's identity, the county's identity. And then, of course, if it's your local identity, it's got to be reflected in the schools. You've got to have artistic excellence in the schools that reflects the community. And I think it's stronger in the schools because of the strong arts organizations that are here. And they too have had a long-standing commitment. You know, the Young Persons Concert for the Sarasota Orchestra has been happening for over 50 years, right? These kind of things. And at the same time, you know, Riverview High School's Kilties, like, they've had more than 50 years of straight superiors. I don't think that that's coincidental at all. I think that those parallel paths are what have such a strong community expectation for demanding arts excellence in our schools.
Well, you're also, through your alliance, you're representing all the arts and cultural organizations here in Sarasota County. So share with our listeners, because they may not know, and when they think about arts education, they may be thinking of, I take, you know, an art class, mm-hmm. or I'm in band, but what does that actually look like for us in partnership with so many of these cultural organizations that are embedded in our community?
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. I remember a county commissioner asked me one time in one of our meetings of, you know, well, how does our community, how do our organizations give back? You know, what do they do? And I said, listen, we have over 80 arts organizations that are members of the Arts and Cultural Alliance. And I would say, you know, almost all of them have an education or an outreach program. And some of it's combined. So it might be, hey, our arts organizations go into schools. Our arts organizations might have things that schools can go to. These are known. These are also explorations, right? And our great friends from the Patterson Foundation that launched at exploresrq.com. And then, there's funding opportunities, as you know, that really help make sure that these experiences are possible for students. So it can be in an arts organization, in your school, and then even more, these arts organizations also have things that happen. For example, summer's coming up. We're in summer right now. There are opportunities for families to participate throughout the summer as well. So it doesn't just happen in school. It happens community-wide and across disciplines, across art forms, from visual art to performing arts.
So thank you for sharing that, because that has been something that has long impressed us at the Education Foundation, is the level of commitment that these arts and cultural organizations have in being a valuable addition to the experience that students have in their educational journey. So I just applaud you guys, and knowing that you have 80 members that are a part of this alliance is very impressive. Let's get down to the micro level of behind those organizations are the very people that do this work. And we have one that's, an artist here locally, Pamela Olin. She is a mentor to one of our students and offered her mentee a wall to showcase her work. So what would you say to those listeners who are trying to kind of understand how they actually, not from a macro level, but from a micro level, your organizations are changing lives?
Yeah. So I would say be curious, right? So just in that notion, ask questions. How are things changing lives? I think the fact that there are such small and relational opportunities just like that, Pam's great, and I think such a well-rounded sense that she has. The opportunities are incredible. And we can't really even measure all of the impact that might happen, but everyone should have a chance. And I think that's the biggest thing that arts has here. And I think that's what's so important about education is the opportunity that we know and can guarantee and commit that a student and a child has access to arts education and arts experiences. That's why during the school day, it's so important to have it. Yes, there are things that happen beyond that and outside, but those are the things. And Sarasota is so lucky to have as much as we do and as much opportunity, as much diversity in thought and opportunities and experiences as well. There's such a broad range and depth, as we say. And I think that's what's so important. And we want to make sure that parents are asking their teachers about it, that they're asking their principals about it and saying, hey, what are we doing? I would want to make sure as a parent that my child is always having something that's experiential that year. What did you go to? Did anyone come in and perform? What's happening? I think those are important. And listen, the schools are going to let you know. They're going to send that slip home and you'll see about it. Great. Maybe even come and check it out if you can, go into the school and see it happen. I think that's one of the things to be curious about too. And always ask questions. How can I help? How can I help make that happen? Or I'd love to learn more. Just be curious.
I love your spirit of curiosity. I really do. I think that is such a great takeaway. I hope the listeners are hanging on to those very powerful words from you. So when you think about, again, the Arts and Cultural Alliance, what's keeping you as a CEO up at night?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's such great things. First of all, it's such an honor to lead and be part of a sector that I feel is so important. We've come a long way. We've done a lot in a little bit of time. We've, launched new websites. We've, amplified fundraising, things like that. But we've also, I'm really proud, while not directly educationally related, we are launching something unbelievably important. I've talked about how Sarasota was an arts colony, and this was a place where people came to live, to create their art. So for example, people on the GI Bill went to Ringling College and then stayed and created art and stayed and lived here. This is a huge spot where, I don't know about you, but our friends and family from all over will come and visit, and they want to come and visit, and they're going to be in season. Yep. It's much better weather here in February than, up north. There might be some spring training. Great. But there's also a lot of arts and culture, right? We know this. But we want to make sure that Sarasota isn't just a destination for arts, but a home for our artists. And with that, I'm really, really pleased that we're launching an affordable housing initiative to house. We're working with One Stop Housing. I know you know those folks very well. We are really pleased to be launching an initiative. We'll have 75 units on the North Trail for individuals, our artists, and then people who work with arts and cultural organizations as well. So that's one of the things that's keeping me up, because we got to raise the funds to make sure we can do that. I know you relate, but a huge opportunity, honored to be able to be in that space.
You are hitting a really strong need, and that is going to be such a value add and a game changer. And I love the mind shift that you all are having, that again, Sarasota is not just a destination, but it's a home for the artists. So can you give a profile of an artist that's in our community that could be benefiting from something like this?
So listen, I'll make it more personal. So I moved to New York City like right out of college, you know, I was 22. And I just said this in a 10 by 10 talk in the spring. So I showed up to New York City. I had no job. I was freelancing as a musician. I lived way out in Brooklyn and I did my laundry across the street. All this, I would have been that candidate, right? I would have been someone who would have benefited from this. So whether you are someone that's coming here and you're moving to be, a dancer in the Sarasota Ballet, or maybe you're a Ringling College graduate, you're new. And the thing is, these are what we want in this space is career seeking artists. These are people who want to make their living in the arts space and field. So it's not for our friends who maybe have retired and they paint watercolors and that's great and they want to hang out. Not for that. And it's great. There's nothing against watercolors or anything like that. But these are for folks who are career seeking artists. And they might start here and then they may end up one day having a home that they get to own. But this is a safe, inclusive, you know, warm space where there also will be a gallery and performance area where people can showcase their work, because space is a commodity. We know this. So where do we get to highlight and create things? We'll be able to work with that as well. So really excited for the future.
I am equally excited for you. I think that is so wonderful. And these artists, also many of them are the teaching artists that come back and they go into the schools and they share their craft with their with the students in the classroom. So I want to keep putting a pin in that, because our community is interconnected and the arts and cultural organizations don't sit in a different lane. They are embedded into the vibrancy of the community, but also into the efficacy of student performance.
I love it. It could be the teaching artist who's coming to your school and is in residence. It could be, you know, maybe even a first year teacher, you know, who's a new music teacher. Maybe it's for them. It's all of these things are possible. We're so honored to be able to create this and have an artistic home.
I think this is great. So for our listeners, I'm just going to say this, because, you know, for the Education Foundation, we're always about, you know, investing in, you know, the next generation of leaders into the future. And this is for specifically for those people who have a real heart and an ear for the arts and cultural organization. You could double down. You could do a twofer by supporting the Arts and Cultural Alliance, supporting any of the arts and cultural organizations that are out there. You are in turn also supporting the students in the very next generation.
Absolutely. SarasotaArts.org, of course, the website to get more information. Thank you for that, Jennifer. But agreed, this is a way to invest in our individuals. And I think that's really, really special. Sometimes it's harder to be able to do that, but this is one of those ways. And to your point, whether it's direct services in a school, this is going to benefit this community overall and at large. And of course, there's not an artist who won't speak at length about knowing the importance of arts education. Everyone starts somewhere. And again, we all know back to those roots, you know, as people are entering kindergarten, right? And we think of there's such sponges and there's such a creative force and a playfulness and a vitality. We want to keep that thread all the way through 12th grade, right? How do we make sure that people are engaged and excited and, again, curious about learning?
Yes, that's perfect. So share your website one last time for our listeners. I want to make sure they know where to get some information.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's sarasotaarts.org. And you can learn more information about that. You can sign up for our news blast that we send out weekly to just make sure you know what performances to go to, Jennifer, or what exhibitions are opening, things like that. Check out all of our different social media platforms, Facebook, Insta, LinkedIn. Those are really good ways to just to know, not necessarily about us, but just also all of what's happening, what you can plug into within this community.
That's terrific. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning into this. I hope you learned a little bit more. I know I had in terms of the value that arts education brings. And I would just say, really giving a shout out and a hug to all the art teachers out there, because they're the ones that are really showing up and investing in the well-rounded groundedness in the development of these students.
Yeah, if you look at an elementary school, that art and that music teacher, they see every student at that school from kindergarten through fifth grade, and now, of course, you know, some K through ed as well. So that impact alone, significant.
I'm so glad. Great way to end this podcast. Way to do that. So thank you again, Brian, for being a part of today's podcast. And listeners, thank you all so much for tuning into Education Conversations. You know you can always find out about us at edfoundationsrq.org. And be sure to tune in to any of these podcasts wherever you listen in. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.